And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, presented by Sling. We are here live at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook in lovely Las Vegas, Nevada.
On Christmas Day.
On college football Christmas Day.
College Christmas Day.
We find out who the four teams for the college football playoff are going to be. It is going to be maybe dramatic.
So what would be the most dramatic thing?
We said it last night. As we say this, Reese Davis is pointing at that Alabama A. Yeah. There's Nick Saban next to him.
I'll give ESPN credit, Andy. I don't know if it's a realistic.
Bringing some drama out of this?
They are like taking every ounce of Alabama drama and like squeezing it out of that oily rag.
Scooping it out of here. Yeah.
They have the Instagram posts with Nick Saban. And every picture I've noticed, too, that Nick Saban is wearing the crimson blazer.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean,
because like that's the most powerful blazer that a human being could be wearing when they're trying to make a point. Right?
He also had the case of national championship rings behind him when he was politicking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's yes. Everything they did was to heighten the drama. Everything Nick Saban did, it's his job to try to put his team in a position to win the national title. I'm sure that piece of his job he didn't particularly enjoy. But
yeah.
He did it. I don't know that it's going to matter.
Yeah.
I think we're talking more about
is, I will say, though, Andy,
where are TCU and Ohio State fitting 3 or 4?
The committee
mm-hmm.
was watching the games
yes.
together
yes.
live.
Yes.
And during those games that were being watched together live, Nick Saban was on the television speaking directly to the people. So like the one thing I do wonder is like, does politicking really ever matter? Probably not. But we both have done the committee mock.
Right.
They argue with each other, and if he gets into one person's brain,
and especially that person is very persuasive,
then, like, you know, you never know. Maybe I could say it's a 2% chance.
It's like a jury at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's 13 instead of 12.
But it would be hilarious and ironic that if the college football playoff committee was swayed by a gambling line argument,
well,
4 months after.
I think Bill Hancock would owe you an apology. I think that's what that would mean.
But yeah, so here we are. Everyone looks well rested and ready. You know, I'm just super excited. And, you know, like I last night, I thought that there was a really, really big chance that Ohio State and Michigan would be matched up at 2 and 3. But, you know, after sleeping on it when I woke up, I don't know if it's necessarily a certainty. So
that's what I was wondering. You seemed very sure about that. And I was thinking, Ohio State may be 4 still.
Yeah, well, the reason why I was unsure about it is that it seems un-American and un-college football-like for a team to lose and then stay exactly where they were.
It, like, right.
Has never happened, and we're conditioned to think
that. Well, it's happened. I mean, like when Oklahoma lost to Kansas State in the Big 12 title game, they still made the BCS title game.
Were they 1 and then went to 2, though?
I can't remember if they were. I think they may have been 2 and stayed at 2. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they were 1 and went to 2, but it's happened. So
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I am excited to see the matchups, obviously, first and foremost. But like if we're watching this, which is on TV here in the sports book at Mandalay, and that A comes up.
It's going to
cancel our days. Like, I don't even know what
we enjoy the rest of the podcast because we're going to have a lot more people listening and watching because people are going to freak out.
Would that be the single most controversial?
Well, Brandon Simmons in the chat, Bama ain't making it. End of story. I'd love the melt though. Basically, I'd love the meltdown.
Oh yeah.
In terms of drama and people freaking out. And again, I did dose you with the ass juice last night.
Yeah.
That sounded terrible.
We're in Vegas, bud. I mean, relax.
Okay. No, I dosed you with our patented truth serum last night, and I said, if you were just trying to decide what games you'd want to see on your television, and I gave you the option of Georgia, Alabama, and Michigan, Ohio State.
Well,
you seem pretty excited about that.
Your whole thing all year has been what's true. And it's that the committee will do whatever they want to do.
Right. And they will explain it later. After. Yes.
So the question is that doing what you want to do motivation.
Yeah.
Can it transcend loss totals?
Well, let's do a thought exercise here, because they're gonna drag this out, guys. I don't know.
My favorite part of this day too, Andy, is when they unveiled 25 through 20, and it's like, oh, come on.
Kirk Herbstreit, resplendent in the blue plaid blazer, makes his blue eyes really pop. They're gonna talk for a while, so we'll talk for a while. Let us do this. I'm gonna give you this scenario, and either you or me are gonna be Boo Corrigan retconning an explanation for said scenario.
Okay.
So I'll give you
going to do the impression. You seem like an impression.
Oh, Jesse Palmer, the host of The Bachelor's on now.
I was going to say, why is the host of The Bachelor?
I saw him on the Food Network the other night.
This guy's everywhere, man.
It's amazing. All right. So let's start with an easy one. One Georgia, two Michigan, three Ohio State, four TCU. You are Boo Corrigan. Go.
Do I have to do the drawl?
You don't have to. I don't think he's that Southern. Right, he is. Gene's an old ACC guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do you have to have his drawl Southern only?
Mostly. Okay. Go ahead.
Though TCU lost its conference championship game, it has beaten everybody on its record or on its schedule. It lost an overtime game in the conference championship game, and they were unquestionably one of the four best teams in college football.
Now, why them at four and Ohio State, which lost this last game and did not play for conference championship at three? This is my Reese Davis impression.
Yes, the committee just really respects the work that Ohio State did in the Big Ten, which we believe to be a deeper and more talented conference.
Your committee BS impression is amazing. Yeah. That is spectacular.
Ohio State went on the road and beat Penn State handily after a close game in the fourth quarter. And we respect that win over any other win. And we believe that Ohio State is built based on what we've seen in the evidence wise to put them ahead at number three. And TCU's body of record, while still very impressive, gets them into the field.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. All right. So let's try something a little different. Let's try the one you were just wondering, noodling. Has a team ever lost and kind of just stayed where they are? One Georgia, two Michigan, three TCU, four Ohio State.
TCU has been a constant fixture in the top four of this ranking for the majority of the year. They came into the weekend with the number one strength of record. They've beaten every single team on their schedule. And the funniest thing about these things is that you can use them for both.
Exactly. That's the best
part. They beat every single team on their schedule, losing a tough overtime game. By an inch when you get stuffed at the goal line isn't a indemnification, I guess, on who they are as a team.
They were tied at the end of regulation.
The last thing we saw from Ohio State was them losing handily at home to their rival. We thought that it would be unjust as a committee to reward Ohio State for staying at home the final weekend of the year while TCU exposed itself to a potential loss because it was better during the regular season.
All right. I like that. That's a very good explanation.
I don't know if they ever get that specific, though.
I think if that was the explanation for that scenario, people would be like, all right, that sounds pretty good.
And I think that exercise was an interesting reminder that no matter what the rankings are,
yeah, they can come up with some
the same thing.
Get ready, Boo, because here it comes.
Oh boy, I don't even know. Like this is a good exercise. Yeah. Because
here we go, Boo. One Georgia, two Michigan, three Ohio State, four Alabama
plays in the best, most respected, and deepest conference in college football. Throughout the season, they've been a constant tough out for every team they've played, and their two losses only came on the last play of the game, where they were both on the road too, right?
So yes,
both on the road. And
Boo, you don't get to ask for help from Reese.
But I'm just trying to make sure. Both of their losses came out on the road, and we believe that Alabama, based on the evidence of what they have on their roster and the way that they've played, that they could beat anybody in the country coming out of that conference. They also have the first best player, arguably, in the country at the quarterback position, and they have one of the best defenders, if not the best defender on defense. Given what they went through in that conference, they deserve the respect of the committee, and knowing that they were two plays away from being undefeated out of the SEC was enough.
Did Nick Saban's point spread...
They would also argument. Be favored by everybody that
did,
they play.
Did that make a difference for you, Boo?
But I will say that was interesting, Andy, because that was the hardest one to do.
Yeah.
So if you get up there and you have to strain a little bit like I just did to come up with a reasoning for it, I think that kind of convinced me that Alabama's 100% out.
It's a hard
thing to say because everything is speculative.
Yeah. So Cade in our chat says an Ohio State media member just tweeted that he was invited to cover the Fiesta Bowl via email, meaning it'd probably be Michigan and Ohio. How funny would that be if they blew this announcement by just sending out the wrong email blast at the wrong time?
I wonder who that is. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that is. Now, it's a very college football way of doing this. That's happened before where the NCAA tournament field has leaked, where the bracket is leaked.
Who the person's name is.
Well, we're busy.
I know, but I wanted to see if it's true.
So we will find out. But, Austin Ward. So that is a legitimate Ohio State media member who would get such an email. So
okay, well. He just blew the whole show.
It's not Austin's fault. Whatever lackey at the Fiesta Bowl sent that.
How much money's on the line for this show if all of the people sitting here at the edge of their seats and Austin Ward just pulled the rug out from under?
But it didn't. Here's the thing, though. Well, it did. That did because that tells you Ohio State's three, but it doesn't tell you who's four. Actually,
it does not.
It may have heightened the drama.
Actually, yeah, Austin knows that one of the two potential spots that TCU was in is now taken.
Give that Fiesta Bowl intern a raise.
So, yeah, okay. That's hilarious, man. Okay. Well, we'll find out here shortly. I think that, you know what we were saying last?
We got Marty Smith. What does the reporter assignment in each city say about the team's chances?
Yeah.
When it's a Marty party in Tuscaloosa, does that mean there's a better chance that Alabama makes it?
Yeah, you like rank the familiarity of the anchors based on where they are. I don't know. I mean, they're not going to send Marty to a place that's not partying, right?
That's what I'm thinking. If there's Marty, there's got to be a party. Although, here's the thing. Alabama wouldn't throw a party for this under any circumstances, whether they weren't making it or did make it. If they make it at number four, it's like...
Nick Saban would just be like this.
Yeah, he'd be like, great. I don't think they're going to make it. I do think if they do make it, Nick Saban will be unhappy about them making it because he's going to be like in his heart of hearts. You know, if we give him the truth serum, he's going to be like, now I got to spend all these weeks getting ready to get beat by Kirby again. I could be recruiting right now.
Do you think that Nick Saban like would ever second guess an opportunity though in real
life? No, absolutely not. Yeah, like, no, they would be.
He'd be like,
Let's go
into the robot mode and let's get this done. So part of me thinks that the Alabama discussion is just there because you can't go into the show without any drama.
You know?
Like if you don't have the Alabama drama, then what do you talk about? Just seeing?
Right. That's it.
I guess that's what's going to be like in 2 years when the expanded playoff starts, seeding and then debating on whether or not Tulsa
gets in. The seeding stuff, I think people kind of underestimate how that's going to go because like, there will be a cut line that decides, do you play a home game or do you go on the road? Like that 8-9 is a pretty big deal. And if it's a contentious one, you're going to be like, oh, they got to go on the road to Wisconsin or, oh no, they got to go to Auburn now. Like that's going to be fun to find out. This not too much fun because I'm with you. I don't think Alabama's going to make it. So this is all very manufactured. And they are going to drag this out.
The hardest thing about the Alabama thing is, and we have to say it, that they are not even the best. I mean, the only reason why they're in this position is because Hendon Hooker's injured.
Right.
Because if Hendon Hooker wasn't injured, they wouldn't even have a case.
Right. If Tennessee does not go to – here's the thing. Even if Hendon Hooker hadn't gotten hurt in that game, if Tennessee won that game, if they didn't go to Columbia and get smoked, if Tennessee wins that game, we're not having any of this conversation at all.
They're just in.
It's a TCU Ohio State conversation, but that's it.
Yeah.
And I think, well, if this Fiesta Bowl thing is true, then we know the answer to that.
That's right.
We know it would have been Ohio State.
Yep. So, and the thing, I guess, like, is it fair?
Well, life isn't fair.
I mean, say it louder for everybody.
Life is not fair.
You know, that's the toughest pill to swallow for Tennessee because it was there.
Yeah.
If they would have made the playoff this year, like it's not like it would have been the most insane thing with what they did.
So. Joe Milton led Tennessee in the playoff. I'm not as pumped about as Hendon Hooker led Tennessee.
Absolutely.
But they would have made it.
Yeah.
All they had to do is beat South Carolina. So,
and it kind of goes to show you too, like of all these teams that are just on the in between.
Actually,
5 and 10.
Clemson also in the all they had to do is beat South Carolina club.
I was going to say like the margin of of error there between making it and not making it's kind of
raised. Shane Beamer's like the CFP angel of death.
Yeah. Well,
good Lord. You
know, that's kind of the beauty of the way this works right now.
We should get him a t-shirt.
You lose games that you're not supposed to lose, and you lose the chance to play for a national championship, and it doesn't always work out that way, but that's the way the sport's set up right now. So I guess there are drawbacks to that, because in the 12-team playoff, all these exciting teams make it, and then you just get to watch it. So,
well, yeah, and I just – then you find out who's playing who and where they play, where they and play that's going to be fun. Who gets a bye? I think, you know, going from having a bye to hosting somebody in the first game – that's a pretty significant piece of news to you too. So now how many other reporters is ESPN going to have to hire? How many campuses are you going to have to be on for this show in two years?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to hire a lot of them, because there's going to be like, there's going to probably be seasons where there's 20 candidates in the final 2 weeks, right? Like
that. Yeah. I think by the end, it'll be down to, there will probably be two or three just right at the cut line that you're waiting to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know that you and I have had these discussions about this, and while we're waiting for them to announce it, I will say that I will kind of miss this a little bit.
The
discussion of, like, the Alabama discussion that we're having.
The thing, the Alabama thing is you and I, I'm not talking about them. We know that they need to create drama. We don't. We can have a good show anyway. We can talk about you drinking a scorpion last night and have an entertaining show.
I burped a scorpion last night.
I'm sure you did. Your scorpion was a lot bigger than mine.
Ugh.
If you need to see Ari taking the scorpion shot, or me taking the scorpion shot, it's on my Instagram feed, Annie_Staples. It is on my Twitter feed, at Annie_Staples. Ari did it. He did an amazing job. He almost didn't do it. It was close.
You did it first because you're a good sport, and then I was able to watch the execution of it. My scorpion was twice as big as yours.
Yeah. I'm ashamed to say that, but you know, you get the scorpion, you're dealt.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think here's the deal. If that had been bad tequila, that would have been an awful experience.
Yeah,
but because it was very good tequila, it made it very easy.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I might get shirts. Think about all the
you play,
swag
the, you play the scorpion, you're dealt.
Yeah,
it's a great t-shirt.
Ass right here on the back.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Jackson Daniel, y'all keep saying the South Carolina loss is bad for Tennessee. South Carolina is a top 20 team. How would that be the nail in the coffin? Because when they lost, it knocked them out of the playoff, Jackson.
And it was like a complete and utter meltdown.
If they had won the game, they would be in the playoff. That is how it is.
I mean, are Tennessee fans right now, and I'm not belittling anybody, so don't take it that way, but are they at home grinding their teeth, upset that they think they should be in?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
They should be in? No, I think they're just mad.
Ahead of Alabama?
They're mad they're not ahead of Alabama. Now, if Alabama gets in, they will be furious.
Yeah.
And probably rightfully so.
But I bet a Tennessee fan would rather have the Tennessee logo on all of these debates rather than the Alabama logo.
Absolutely. And
because that's also branding, listen, too. You know, that's
what's going on there, Danny White? You declared UCF national champions. Let's get you on with Nick Saban. Like, if I was Danny White, I'd have called ESPN and be like, put me on with Nick Saban. Let's debate.
Yeah, let's debate.
Embrace debate, baby.
Can you imagine if, like, I were an athletic director and I would just start using, like, RE slang and going up there and saying, talking.
Listen, about, Nick, if I gave you the ass juice.
You want to talk about gambling lines? Your favorite one time this season that we know for sure of and lost. You imagine if he said that to him? Okay, here we go.
We got a bracket.
1, 2, 5. Okay, number one is Georgia.
Wow. What a surprise.
Okay.
Who would have thunk it?
Okay. Yeah, the whole Mandalay Bay sports books at the edge of their seats.
That's right. There's a palpable buzz as people go get their Starbucks.
Could you imagine if it was Ohio State too? I'm just trying to think.
Now that might get people's attention.
The Ass Clown Rankings college football version.
Well, Notre Dame would be 4, obviously.
You put Ohio State 2 and Michigan 3 and change nothing but only enrage people for no reason?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what you put Ohio State ahead of Michigan just to piss people off. All right, so Michigan is number 2.
Michigan is number 2. Okay, now is when the butterflies come.
Oh, boy.
Are you nervous?
No, because we already know what number 3 is going to be.
What if it was just a mistake?
Could be. We could see that hypno-toad.
God, if Ohio State plays Michigan again, that'd be a hell of a storyline. That'd be crazy.
I mean, the psychological damage of another Ohio State loss to Michigan.
Either way, the world's going to explode. There's no
Oh yeah. Because if Ohio State wins that game, then it's everything that happened the past 2 regular seasons is null and void. Yeah. And the Ohio State people are like, "See? Well, we told you."
This is where they string it out. My the producer John over there, John Hayes, is just pacing back and forth.
Well, he used to work in television, so he can predict the commercial break. Like, they're gonna announce number 3. It's gonna be Ohio State, and then they're gonna go to commercial.
Yeah,
like that, just really ring it all out.
Yeah, well, it's just like that tease. You know what I mean? It feels good,
but does it really?
I'm enjoying it. I don't know. We've only waited 4 months to get to this point. What's another 3 minutes, right?
This is true. This is
22 minutes into the
22
show,
minutes. TCU is number 3.
Austin Ward, you lied.
Or Fiesta Bowl intern, you sent the wrong email.
I did it.
Oh boy. Who said there would be no drama today?
There's no drama. TCU is 3. They don't drop out. Ohio State's going to be number 4. We got Ohio State, Georgia.
Look at Max Duggan. He's like, whoa,
that's incredible, man.
Okay.
So
now, in terms of games here, TCU, you feel like, has probably a little bit better matchup against Michigan than it would against Georgia. Ohio State won't be favored against Georgia, but has the athletes that on the maybe one perfect day could play with Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see how that game plays out. And you know what this does do is, it does preserve the chance that Ohio State and Michigan will play for a national championship.
See, I think that would just set the world on fire.
Because I think Michigan's going to be a 10-point favorite against TCU.
Right.
And then if Ohio State has the upset of the decade.
Yes.
And it's not within the realm of possible. It's not impossible.
It's not. I would feel more optimistic about Ohio State beating Georgia than TCU beating Georgia.
By putting TCU at 3, then the Alabama drama's gone. Right.
I think.
Could you imagine if they put Bama in?
Yeah, I think that's the end of that. I think.
Yeah, we think. But it's not over until it's over. Nick Saban's somewhere sitting in a big leather chair petting a white kitten right now.
He's just trying to figure out if he has to rearrange his calendar. He's pissed about this no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. They're debating whether to go to commercial. Ohio State is number 4. All right.
So do you think that there is a legitimate conversation within the committee to avoid the rematch?
I don't.
Think they just, this is who they think are the 4.
I don't think they would do that. Look, you're going to, I think, this is because everybody's like, it's about ratings. Another Michigan Ohio State game guaranteed
break the ratings book
would be a massive number. Now, Georgia Ohio State is going to be a massive number too, but yeah. Michigan Ohio State was a guaranteed giant number.
Well, you know what, too? The thing that is, you know, we've talked about this, but Michigan has an easier path to a national championship than Georgia.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's the
Georgia being punished for being number one.
Yes, that's actually a real thing because Michigan's going to be favored. Could you imagine if Michigan's going to be a 9.5-point favorite, which was on the book apps yesterday?
Right.
They had the look ahead lines. It was Michigan minus 9.5.
Georgia was minus 5.5. Okay.
So, like, that's much closer. 5.5 is still a significant spread, but like that.
I am not as worried about Ohio State upsetting Georgia just because Georgia is essentially a supercharged version of Michigan.
Yeah, it's going to be impossible,
so
I feel like.
They are going to have – Ohio State is going to have to show that they are better than what they were in Ann Arbor and a lot better than that to beat Georgia in what will essentially be a home game for Georgia.
Yeah, Alabama's number 5.
So Tennessee will be 6. Why not just put Tennessee at 5? What damage does that do?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's kind of bush league.
They did play each other. Tennessee won. They had the same record. Like, it's not complicated. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Just symbolically.
Yeah.
Because, like, to finish at the end of the year for Tennessee in front of Alabama is a hell of an accomplishment. Something that people there could be proud of. You know, like, it's might not change anything, but you could just say, hey, you know?
Yeah.
Here we are. So, I don't know if I'm surprised or not by this. Are you surprised?
I am a little surprised they didn't bump Ohio State over TCU because of the loss. It's just like you said earlier, they lost yesterday, and usually our reaction is, well, you lost, let's move you.
Yep, that's true. Well, here's the thing that we're not considering is if TCU is a very good football team, which we believe that
they are. Yeah. Can they beat Michigan?
Both
I think they can beat Michigan.
Both of those teams have a chance and an easier path than playing the boogeyman in the first round. So there is a theoretical possibility that TCU could play for a national championship, which is a Big 12 team on that stage, which has never happened, right?
Correct.
So
In the
playoff era, right. So, we're going to get a new team that's never been in a national championship game.
Yes,
right now,
guaranteed.
No matter what.
Guaranteed.
So that's exciting. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be kind of playoff old guard. Ohio State has they won the first college football playoff. They played for a national title in 2020. Georgia has played in two national title games and won one of them.
Yep.
So you got your old guard game, and then you got your new guys game. Even though Michigan was in it last year, but one of those teams is going to the national title game. So It's gonna be fun.
Wait, the thing we also have to consider too, Andy, is let's say Ohio State beats Georgia and Michigan wins, and then Michigan wins again. But like Michigan won a national championship. That is unbelievable.
Oh, the
like,
story
the
around
of
oh yeah,
Harbaugh
absolutely.
Did there would be amongst one of. I mean, we're getting Dabo Clemson, up there with that debate or that discussion. So
yeah.
You know, I do think this is a compelling playoff. This is the one that your gut told you to want more.
Right.
You got it. I'm excited for Georgia, Ohio State. I'm excited for TCU, Michigan. And two new teams.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan was in last year, but two new teams potentially playing for a national.
And I realize it would be a lot for Ohio State to overcome Georgia. That's going to be hard. I know Vegas has it as a 5.5-point line.
My gut would be to lay the points. Right
yeah,
now.
I think Georgia should be favored by quite a bit more than that, given what we've seen from Ohio State.
Yeah.
But if Ohio State and Michigan were to play for the national title.
Pandemonium.
I mean, is that the most intense college football game in the history of the sport?
I mean, it has to be, right?
Right. Because it would either be them playing for the national title or Alabama and Auburn playing for the national title. It only would be one of those two matchups that would generate that level of intensity.
It's insane. And like maybe they'll this is part of the reason why they set it up too, you know, not to avoid the rematch, but to keep the potential of that alive.
I don't
would
but
it be
I,
the
I,
most highly
they
rated,
don't care about the no, I really
would it be
don't
the
think
most
they do.
Highly rated college football game of all time.
It might be. Well, no, because nothing that happens now is going to be more highly rated than what was going on in the three channel world.
Yeah.
So but It would do a massive number. It's on a cable channel. Yeah. But that said, it would break whatever records they have for those parameters.
That's insane. Yeah. So now they're comparing playoff resumes between Ohio State and Alabama here,
and Georgia Michigan as a national title game. just from a color helmet matchup, all that, that's a Bafo rating too.
Yeah.
Harbaugh, Smart, all that.
Yeah,
personalities. Sure. I do think that would be a really fun, compelling national title game. Basically, and really, if Michigan and Georgia play for the national title, it's interesting what it says about the sport schematically.
Yeah.
Because these are not teams that necessarily spread it all out.
Right,
you're gonna, it's like pound you up the middle.
College football ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
So I think it goes, you know, really pass happy, then it goes back to the run, because how do you beat those teams?
Exactly.
Like getting back to the fundamentals.
Everybody changed their defense. So Michigan and Georgia have offenses that those defenses are not built to stop.
And then all of a sudden you got to adjust your defenses. And then how do you, it's back and forth. Yeah. But yeah, I think that that's a, those two teams playing each other would be probably the hardest hitting game. In this playoff field. So,
Now it's weird. We saw it last year. But I would argue that J.J. McCarthy adds a different aspect to that game.
This is why I wanted J.J. McCarthy to start for Michigan last year.
I know.
From the beginning, because now you have a dynamic athlete at quarterback that might be able to move the sticks in a play where they would have punted, and extending one drive can change the entire way a quarter plays out. You know? So I don't know if I think Michigan is a much better team. I think. Than they were a year ago. Just because.
I think they're a more dynamic team.
Also, by the way, if you watched Michigan play yesterday, Donovan Edwards is a freaking stud.
Yeah.
And I know it stinks that Blake Corum is out, but like Donovan Edwards is a star.
He's really good.
So like it would be great
if they had Corum and Edwards they had for most of the season.
You want them to have both.
Yeah.
But if Corum was still playing, then Edwards wouldn't touch the ball as much. So I think that Michigan without Corum, though a blow, is certainly good enough to compete for a national championship.
Yes. And again, I mean, this goes back to our mea culpa from last week. It's pretty remarkable what Jim Harbaugh has been able to do in a couple of years in terms of remaking the identity of that program.
That's right. Wow. So what's the biggest takeaway here, Andy?
Luke Corrigan's talking right now, and he's, you know, he was saying Ohio State's wins against Penn State and Notre Dame. And, you know, at this point, I don't really know who we were pitting them against, because if you're pitting Ohio State against Alabama, the Penn State win will carry the day over anything Alabama's got. And they're both pretty good. And they both lost in the games against the other, you know, kind of really elite teams.
I think that you could make the case that that's the two loss thing, really. But Ohio State got in because Penn State is good enough to not lose to bad teams, and Texas isn't.
That is probably pretty good. But remember, TCU also beat Texas, so that's buoying them as well.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It is very, very interesting how that all shook out, because I think I was just assuming that because TCU lost, they would move them. And they didn't.
What do you think the gambling odds in this sports book would have been in 2014 that the first team from Texas to make the playoff would be TCU?
Wow.
And like honestly,
I didn't think about that.
Like, TCU would have done it the first year almost.
Yes.
And then now this year.
Yes. They've been closer than anybody, and they made it.
Over the course of almost a decade.
Yeah.
So good for that program.
Well, and also, Sonny Dykes in his first year. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good coach, and I think that it was kind of it's the perfect place for him.
Yeah.
It's a Power 5 program in the Dallas area.
Well, the other thing is, so let's talk, Gary Patterson deserves some credit here.
Sure, of course.
For getting TCU where they are in the first place. Like, none of this happens without Gary Patterson, but he also, we know he's a very good evaluator. A lot of the players on this roster, because this wasn't a roster they came in and just wholly flipped. They took a lot of what was there and made it really good.
I mean, Max Duggan's
absolutely.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. If you're Gary Patterson, I know you're probably, it's a little bittersweet for you because you're not there.
Do you use a bullet point on the job tour
as you're trying to get the UNLV job or whatever? Absolutely. I don't know how you wouldn't.
Yeah. And being a good evaluator might be the number one bullet point that you're looking for the jobs that he's going to be
exactly
applying for.
Exactly. So
yeah. Interesting.
We'll be right back after these words.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When we get to the playoff, which game are you more excited to watch first? Are you more excited for Ohio State, Georgia, or for TCU, Michigan?
Stars guy, man.
You want the dudes everywhere.
I want the dudes everywhere versus dudes everywhere.
Well, let's talk about that.
Ohio
State, Georgia.
Michigan's going to win pretty easily.
What would Ohio State have to do to beat? Because here's
that's the number one discussion point.
Here's my worry. My worry for Ohio State is that CJ Stroud is just bothered constantly. And as good as those receivers are, he's just not able to be on schedule.
There is a legitimate discussion that has to be had. And I don't know if today's the day or if we'll do it during the 700 podcasts we do between now and the game, about having a pass first quarterback who can't run in today's age.
Yeah.
And we were watching the TCU game in the sports book, and TCU forced overtime because Duggan.
Well, and what was my biggest complaint about the play calling at the end for TCU? Because everybody else says get it under center and run a quarterback sneak.
No,
so I'm watching K-State's nose push TCU's centers back, back 2 yards every play. So that's that would be a dumb call. When you have a quarterback like Max Duggan and you're on the goal line like that, and you have multiple shots, put him in the shotgun. Call a pass, and if they get pressure, there's a real good chance he's going to run it in.
The entire fourth quarter of them getting back into the game was Max Duggan running it.
Exactly.
Doing it on times.
Exactly. When K-State got pressure, he turned a negative into a positive.
There was one play, too, a big pass play where Duggan rolled right.
Yeah.
And as he was running towards the sideline, the defensive backs froze because they were fixed with the decision. Do we make run it or do you stay with the guy?
Yep.
If CJ Stroud is rolling there, they stay with the receiver and Ohio State doesn't get a
They're never
down.
Worried about it. Exactly.
When you're playing a team that's if Jackson Smith the Jigba comes back and Marvin Harrison.
Right.
That's a pretty nasty.
That changes the matchup. Yeah.
But if anybody can cover those guys, it's Georgia.
Right.
So you have a quarterback that can put he's the best arm in college football without question. But if you have a one-dimensional quarterback in today's game, can you beat Georgia?
Well, and the other thing about beating Georgia is Ohio State's defense, which was obviously they changed coordinators. They hired Jim Knowles in the offseason. They're supposed to get tougher. Did not look tougher at the end of the Michigan game. Yeah. Georgia is going to batter you in the same way Michigan will.
But far worse.
Yeah.
More thoroughly. Because Michigan.
There's no Darnell Washington at Michigan.
Last season, when Michigan beat Ohio State, it was punch after punch after punch after punch. Yeah. And Michigan wasn't running the ball like that on Ohio State at all. They four out of their five touchdowns were for further.
Yeah, but
yards.
Here's the thing.
So
only because Ohio State blew those two runs so badly at the end, because Michigan had started to really unlock it. They were gaining 5-6 yards a carry. So
Ohio State was,
if they hadn't been giving up 60 yard touchdown runs, they would have given up 10 6-yard runs that led to a touchdown.
So what do you think Ohio State's biggest issue is then? And is that something that's fixable in 3 weeks? Because I don't know that it is.
No, I don't know that they have what they need up front to handle Georgia, because Georgia's offensive line is very good. Like Cedric Van Pan Granger is an NFL guy. Both their tackles are NFL. I mean, they're all five are NFL guys, but both their tackles may be first round guys. So,
you know what we'll do though at some point is we should do this for both games.
And then Darnell Washington as a blocker. I mean, you saw him yesterday. They were trying to give him some tape as a receiver, probably just to scare some people.
Yeah.
But Darnell Washington as a blocker is devastating.
We have to do this for both games, where we do a draft of the best players on either team.
Oh, wow. Ohio State, Georgia is going to be a fun one.
Because, you'll go the top 10, and, you might, it might be 5-5.
Right, especially if Jackson Smith and Jigba is playing.
Yeah.
Because then Ohio State has the best two receivers on the field.
And it's when you have 5-5, it's better than 9-1. Because if Georgia was playing against TCU, it'd be 9-1. Maybe,
yeah.
Right.
Is exactly. That fair? Oh no, it's plenty fair. Quentin Johnston's probably the only person getting picked.
We'll do it for both games. It'll be very interesting to see, because I think that Ohio State's got 5 top-end first-round draft picks on this team. And when you have that
roster, you know, we talk about C.J. Stroud, but like Paris Johnson's probably a first-round draft pick.
Top 5 pick too, I think, right? It's like Alabama and Ohio State might have 4 of the top 6 picks this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and really where it's going to come down is we probably need to figure out the way that is probably the better – more interesting podcast way to do it.
Yeah.
I think the better way to figure out who wins the game and how they win it, especially with Ohio State, Georgia, is here are the position groups for each team.
Who's got the advantage?
Who would start?
Who would start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you had one team and you had to make one team out of these two rosters, who would start at each position?
Yeah. That would be hard, but that would be fun. We'll do that. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what I suspect is that Georgia's entire defensive line would start, and that's a problem for Ohio State.
Well, JT Tuimoloau is really, really good.
That's true. He may.
I don't know. But who Georgia's, I don't know who you're putting on the bench, though. So,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I don't know.
There's no Jalen Carter at Ohio State right now.
Well, the difference between the SEC and the Big Ten, and especially at Ohio State, has always been, and this isn't just a 2-year thing, this has been a 20-year thing, that the guys in the nose position, mm-hmm. in the middle of the defensive line are
well, I mean, Jalen Carter's not a nose.
No,
he's
I know,
three.
But like just in general, when you go down the line of SEC versus Big Ten, the talent in the
where the SEC is deeper than other leagues is, like, the guy who plays nose for Mississippi State is usually better than everybody who plays nose in every other league.
Right.
And he's not the best nose in the SEC.
That's right. But he's also an NFL nose.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so like that's something. And like when you think about the schedule that Ohio State has played,
yeah,
Georgia is far more battle tested from a physical standpoint to be equipped to handle this than Ohio State is. Ohio State's played one team that can punch it in the mouth all year, and they got their butts.
Right. Georgia's played Tennessee. They played Mississippi State. They played Florida. Like Florida, Jervon Dexter, the D tackle for Florida, he's a top 100 guy in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Like they see people like that, even though the Florida didn't have anybody else, and Georgia made it look easy.
Yeah.
They see people like that.
Yep.
Pretty regularly.
Yep.
So this is going to be really fun, I think, to break down that Georgia and Ohio
State
game.
The other thing, too, is if Georgia goes on to win the national championship, because they're -140 to win it all right now.
Right.
It's a pretty big favorite to win 2 games in a row against a top-tier opponent.
Absolutely.
Does Georgia become and is the new Alabama? Like, that's – you win back-to-back. Alabama misses the playoff. The way they're recruiting.
Well, and – Nick Saban predicted this years ago, because he always said if somebody like him got in there at Georgia, they could dominate the sport. And that's exactly what they're doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if Nick Saban,
because we're a 2nd-26 throw away from Georgia playing for its third national title in 6 seasons. Yeah.
In 6 seasons, which, you know, Kirby Smart's on the television right now. If Nick Saban retires for the next 5 years and he's got 25 more, it's not out of the – I mean, the new 12-team playoff people think might change things, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that somebody could do what Nick Saban did.
I mean, Kirby Smart and I are essentially the same age. Like, I know how much longer I'm planning on working.
Yeah.
I think he's going to work for a while.
But everybody thinks that what Nick Saban has done can never be duplicated, and, like, we could be in the beginning stages of watching it happen again.
Yeah. Well, and Nick always said it would be easier to do it at Georgia because of the proximity to talent, because of the way that state is structured, where, you know, this a lot of the population is fairly new. Like, a lot of these players are first generation Georgians. Like, their parents moved there from somewhere else, but it's still a state where every guidance counselor's office has a Georgia flag or a Georgia diploma. Every teacher is hanging a Georgia flag out. Like, everything they see is Georgia, Georgia, Georgia all the time. And so it's very similar to Ohio State and Ohio, where you are trained from birth. This is the pinnacle. Yep. Like, if you can wear that G on the side of your helmet, that's the pinnacle.
It's all there. It's all there for the taking.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of really interesting storylines here. And if it just turns out to be Georgia wins it all again, then Georgia wins it all again. But
SC scout guy, just think Kirby Smart was on the way to South Carolina to be the head coach and force UGA to fire Mark Richt. That's exactly what happened. It's 100% true. And it is wild to think about. And the thing is, Kirby,
if he ever took that job,
Kirby Smart would have been really good at South Carolina too. Yeah. I don't think they would have dominated like Georgia, but would South Carolina have won the East? Would they have potentially won the SEC by now? Yes.
Yeah.
Would have, because you can get good players there.
I mean, putting a coach that gets it into a place that has every natural advantage is quite the recipe for success.
Exactly. You can get good, like Steve Spurrier showed, you can get good players at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Even with Clemson there, they would have gotten some dudes. But at Georgia, it just goes to like eight more levels.
Yep.
So, well, this has been very educational this season. You ate a scorpion. You're digesting a scorpion as we speak.
I think it's still passing through.
We know the matchup. Jim Harbaugh, Sonny Dykes. Now, that's a coaching man. Think about that that joint press conference. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh and Sonny Dykes. Sonny's going to do all the talking in that one.
Yeah, Sonny's like the most personable, warm human being in coaching. And Jim Harbaugh is just going to sit there and just be like, is this over yet?
Yeah. He thinks chickens are nervous birds.
Yeah, hey, come talk to this guy.
Hey, come talk to this guy. Yeah. Oh, he's going to be like, Sonny, what do you think about that?
He's kind of right.
Oh, I agree. The chickens are nervous birds.
Ohio State is eating too much chicken.
Well, they did look like nervous birds in the fourth quarter of that game.
They did. Nervous bird.
I get some steak on the menu.
Yeah.
Let's call their, Ryan, call their dietitian.
You got a month. You're on notice right now.
Wow.
You got a month.
Ari.
What can you do in a month?
Georgia, Ohio State going to play in a massive stakes game.
Speaking of massive stakes, you think we can find one of those around here?
I think we should go find one right now. Guys, we got a playoff. We'll talk to you again soon. We have a lot to talk about. Transfer portal is opening on Monday officially for everybody who isn't a graduate. Coaching carousel still going on. College football don't stop just because we know who the playoff teams are. We'll talk to you again soon.